Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Our absolute pleasure. Now, China taking this step, or certainly looking to take this this increasing step, would indicate to me, and I think would indicate to a lot of people, they're really seeing artificial intelligence as the next big technological frontier.
They sure are. Many of the major nations are really ramping up their activities in artificial intelligence research and development, and China is very single-mindedly, I guess, going about trying to grow it quite rapidly.
What's your initial reaction to the fact that they are looking at this area with such determination?
I think it's very understandable. China's sort of long been known as a place to manufacture goods cheaply, and that is increasingly no longer as true as manufacturing moves over to other countries. So in order to stay relevant and to keep a healthy economy, it's natural that they look at these sort of new technical economies, and artificial intelligence is definitely one of those big ones.
So for them to achieve this, to go further in the artificial intelligence game right now, what actually needs to be done? What kind of obstacles are actually sitting in the way?
Sure, there's a few key components. These are faced by all countries. First of all, they need the talent. So they need their local universities increasingly to train top artificial intelligence researchers who can stay in the country instead of disappearing overseas, and that's increasing to some extent. They need financial support, and they've got that pretty much sorted. There's huge investment in artificial intelligence across China at a scale that would make many other countries quite jealous. And in terms of regulation, they need the appropriate balance of sort of regulation to restrict unsafe development of AI, but at the same time they need to encourage innovation and make sure it's not too stifling.
Who are the biggest competitors right now? I would imagine the United States is probably forefront in this arena.
Yes, and China, or people talking out of China, have been very upfront about their initial frustrations in that a lot of the top Chinese talent is still overseas and has not yet been coaxed to come back from the States, typically, back into China. But increasingly, they are going back, and increasingly, China is training their own homegrown talent and keeping it there, because there are many more opportunities in AI there now than there were, say, even 5 years ago.
Well, as we mentioned before, there's quite a lot of dosh to be seen. At least the Chinese believe there's quite a lot of money to be seen in this arena. Now, between the United States and China, there's kind of us in a lot of ways, economically, politically. Is there a way Australia can benefit from this situation?
Sure. I guess one of the things that people have likened this whole AI race to, I think, is harkening back to the Cold War days, and I think many people, including myself, don't really think that's an appropriate analogy. It's not sort of them and us, although there are aspects of that. It's very much a global game, and I think countries will increasingly, hopefully, be working together to advance technology in order to sort of advance the efficiency of the economy, the productivity of the economy, which is good for everyone.
And I hear this sort of phrase bandied around about true AI, and I'm not entirely clear on it. It seems to be AI that can really evolve and develop by itself, but how far would you say we are off from true AI being developed?
Yeah, so true AI, or people often talk about general AI, yeah, that's something that's pretty much as smart as a human and indistinguishable from a human. The jury's out on that. Most people think it's still quite a long way off. I think the key thing to remember here is that you don't need true AI or general AI to completely revolutionize economies and society. Just steady incremental advances in AI alone will completely transform everything over the coming decades.
And just finally, you mentioned there some of the obstacles in the way for China in developing the AI technology. The big question that comes out of a lot of these debates, you mentioned safety proofing there. People hear artificial intelligence, they hear the development of these kinds of computer systems. Mind immediately goes to the likes of Terminator, the Skynet system taking over the world and sort of forcing all us puny humans into cages and whatnot. How, in all seriousness, how serious of a concern is that, and what's being done to make sure that does not happen?
Sure. So people are no longer napping. There's been incredible concerted effort around the world in most countries to really develop frameworks and regulations to try and keep up with this very rapidly moving field. In my opinion, the biggest concern isn't the Terminator Skynet scenario. The big concern is really appropriate usage of data. Data is what feeds all of this artificial intelligence development. It's sort of the critical component. And making sure that data is shared and used appropriately, that it's not used to discriminate or implicit biases don't creep into these AI-based systems, that's probably the biggest danger that everyone is working on managing over the sort of short and medium term.
And just finally, this may be a little bit out of left field, but China at the moment, there's been quite a lot of talk about their surveillance state capabilities moving to a new system of you're a good citizen, you're a bad citizen, based on what the computers are telling us, what the cameras are telling us at the moment. Is there a serious concern with the crossover between the surveillance state of China and artificial intelligence that they're developing?
Sure, but this is a general concern across all developed countries. There is surveillance, not just in terms of camera surveillance in public, but surveillance and monitoring of all your online data, as has been seen in recent highly publicized incidents. This is something that the public is increasingly becoming aware of, which is great. How each country manages it will be up to their governments, I guess, and it will change, vary from country to country. I think the positive is that the public is no longer sort of asleep. They're aware that this stuff is happening, and they can sort of provide some input into what they think is acceptable, which I think is a good trend.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. It's a fascinating field. I do appreciate you joining us.
Cheers.